again, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where we're going to continue dealing in the great integrity of this verse that covers so much in this class. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have dealt real extensively on the words I can do. Now, I want to get to the two words, namely all things. I can do all things. Remember earlier in this class I talked to you about the old theological argument, if God is almighty, can he create a bigger stone than he can lift? Now this is why I want to show you these all things. It says, I can do. And I've taken you into the depth of I can do. The all things. What's the meaning of the all things? All without distinction. That's its meaning. Everything that's promised in God's Word, I can do. That's addressed to me. All manifestations of the Holy Spirit, all of them, I can do. And all the manifestations of the Spirit that I do, they are to flow with the Bible. The manifestations of the Spirit never flow at cross purposes. This is why every manifestation of the Spirit must be judged in the light of what does the Word say regarding that manifestation. The manifestations of the Spirit have to flow with the Word of God, and the operation and manifestations in operation of the Spirit produce the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is also in line with what the Word says. Isn't that beautiful? You see, you have a checkpoint or checking points, and those points are in the revealed written Word. This Word of God is as much God as God is God. Therefore, a manifestation from the true God could not contradict what the Word says. You see how you have a checking point? And the only way you'll ever be able to separate the genuine from the counterfeit is by these things that I'm teaching you right now. If you fail to understand this or get the greatness of this, you won't know the difference between a genuine and a counterfeit. You'll be taken in time and time again by the counterfeit, because the counterfeit is so much like the genuine that you have to be a real authority in the field, or it'll knock you for a loop. You bet your life. Look what I got here, $5. I'm going to give it to somebody today if they're nice to me. But so then go out and buy pizza. Look, I don't know if it's genuine or counterfeit. You know why I don't know? Because I just never paid any attention to bills and taken a good look at them and studied them. But I'll venture to say if I took this $5 bill to a banker, he'd be able to tell me whether it's genuine or counterfeit. That's right. All I can do with this is spend it. I don't know if it's genuine or counterfeit. People are like that. You see, unless you study that Word of God, you'll never know whether something is genuine or counterfeit in the spirit realm. You'll never know. That's why most Christians, I'm going to put it back in my pocket now. Most Christians, they flip from one to the other. On some things they're on the genuine, other things they're on the counterfeit, because they do not know God's Word. All the manifestations, class, every one of them has to flow with the Word. And in order for you to know whether it flows with the Word, you have to know the Word. That's all that's to it. And all manifestations, all nine of them, are given for profit. To profit with all. And that means it's ultimate profit. With a view to what is beneficial, what is really beneficial. In other words, is it really beneficial to do so and so, or isn't it? Every manifestation not only flows with the Word, but every manifestation is for profit. For profit. Now, every businessman knows what profit is. Keeps in the red side of the ledger. No. Keeps in the black. That's the profit. In the black. The The manifestations are given for profit with all. To profit with all. Everything has to profit, but it's got to be the ultimate profit. Understand? I don't think you do, so I teach it to you again. Bless your heart. You know what it means? Maybe I didn't teach you like I should. That's why maybe I... You don't judge the manifestation, all the manifestations, especially Revelation and some of the rest of them, on the immediate thing you see. You have to line it up with the whole Word of God, all the way through the Word, even to the ultimate end over here. It's got to profit with all the way through. Do you understand? Otherwise, the manifestation could profit right now a little, but out in here, if you carried it all the way through, it wouldn't profit. I'm talking about the counterfeit. I'm going to be sharing some of the things of the counterfeit with you to give you an understanding of the genuine. Because the difference, the basic difference between the genuine and the counterfeit, the basic difference between it, the basic difference is the profit. The profit. What is the profit? For instance, if I said to you, I had revelation, the president's going to die tonight in Timbuktu. What's profit? What is the profit? Now, if I had the revelation he was going to die, but this is what I could do about it, then he wouldn't die, then I could see some profit, right? You've got to watch that, because the counterfeit will come up with so much of this stuff that has no profit with all in it. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, I want to look at. This will be a great session for you. There'll be a lot of learning in here that'll help you greatly in the operation not only of interpretation and prophecy, but in the operation of all the manifestations. I said Matthew chapter 9. Listen to this. Matthew 9, verse 8. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power unto men. You see, when the prophet is genuine and it's right on with the Word and flows with the Word of God, see, the people marveled, glorified God, who had given such power, who had given such power to men. So, the power that is given to men has to glorify God through the proper prophet. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, that's hookypookism, spiritualism, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. The man is the great power of God. In Matthew, I just read, they glorified God. They didn't glorify the man. They glorified God who had given such power to man. That's the genuine. That's the genuine. The counterfeit is giving out that himself was the great one. And the people said, this man is the great power of God. See the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit? When it comes to the operation of the manifestation, in 1 Corinthians 14, we have this record about speaking. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church, they come together into one place and all speak with tongues, all of them speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? Sure will. The church is gathered together into one place, and everybody speaks in tongues at the same time. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say you're off your rocker? You're mad? Sure they will. They ought to. Why? Because there's no profit in it. There is no profit in it. And God wills that all the manifestations must be operated all the time for profit with all. You see, every leader determines the type of meeting that it is. For instance, I'm the leader of this group tonight. I am determining what type of meeting this is. This is a meeting dealing with the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecies, the intermediate class. I determined this. At another type of meeting, let's say that there were a lot of people there and I needed to preach an evangelistic or teach an evangelistic message, it would be a salvation meeting. Or I could set up a receiver's meeting where I just lead people into the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Or I could just set up what is referred to as a believer's meeting so that you'd get more power for abundant living into manifestation. See? A believer's meeting. Or I could set up, as the leader, I could set up what I call a practice meeting where we operate these manifestations in a body to become real versatile therein. These are called sometimes excellers meetings. I just don't want you to go overboard on that. I'll teach you more about that later. But there is a way whereby you can take a new Christian, one that is not too fully instructed, and you can more fully instruct him and prepare him with the things of God by these practice sessions or excellers meetings. You see, I could do a meeting as a leader on the renewed mind. The leader is responsible for the meeting. You're not responsible for it. I am, right now. If you lead a meeting, you're responsible to God for that meeting. You are. And so, the leader determines whether that meeting stays in line or gets out of line. Over here in Corinthians, they were all speaking at the same time in Corinth. Paul said, no deal, no deal. Absolutely no deal. Because if they do that, the people are going to say, well, you're mad, you're off your rocker. They ought to. So you see, these manifestations are given for profit. And they'll have to fit like a hand in a glove all the way through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7 it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation is given to every man. I've shown you this, that it's in the gift. If you're going to have power for abundant living, you have to operate those manifestations. And the gift has wrapped up in it all the potential, all the dynamis to operate all nine manifestations of the Spirit. And it's for profit with all. Over here on the chart board, I have given you what is a literal translation according to usage of this great verse 7 of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12:7, and this is literal according to usage. But to every man is given. Every man, again, every within the confinement of that which includes every. It's like not all without exception. This every is all without any distinction to those who are born again. But to every man born again is given the manifestation of the Spirit truly for profit to him. Profit to him. You see, if I ministered only to you and I got nothing out of it, I'd be the loser. And even in a business deal, class. In a business deal, it's not a good deal unless it's good for both parties. If it's just good for you and not good for me, it's not a good business deal. If it's just good for me and not for you, it's not a good business deal. A good business deal has to be good for both parties concerned. For God is like that, people. I minister God's word to you. God has to give something back to me, else I'd be the loser. In the manifestations, it's like that. That's really a tremendous translation. Manifestation of the Spirit truly for profit, for profit, for profit to Him. Every time I minister God's word or you minister God's word, it's got to be for profit to you. You have to get it back, and you always will, because that's the law. That's the law of God. It's a spiritual law, and that spiritual law works with that mathematical exactness and with that scientific precision. Now, in Philippians again, 4:13, remember, I can do all things through Christ. That's the key. I through Christ, not I through VP Werwill, not I through anything but Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do through Christ. Now, it does not say I or Christ through Paul. How is that? Not Christ through Paul. It doesn't say that. It says I can do all things through Christ. Not Christ through Paul, but Paul by way of Christ in him. What a tremendous truth, people, and how few people really believe it and understand it. They always talk about God working through them. God doesn't work through you. The wrong God does, not the true God. The true God doesn't work through you. He works with you. He is in you, and as you work, He works with you. I can do all things through Christ. I can do it through Christ, Paul said. Not Christ through Paul, but Paul by way of Christ can do it. You see, you know, spiritualists never, they just never do anything of their own volition. Do you know that? Spiritualists are always controlled. They're possessed. They're taken over. They become channels or mediums. They call them, sometimes they call them sensitive, or they say they have helpers. You know, the enemy, the adversary, just takes over the communication system. That's what he does. Look at 2 Timothy. Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians, Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. That they may recover themselves, verse 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know why the devil takes people captive at his will? They got the trap door open. And so the devil's spirit comes in, takes over the controls like a telephone system. Takes over the controls, operates the telephone system for a while, then he flips the coop, and the man is in full control of his mind again. It's so simple. Takes captive at will because the trap door is open. So it's not just enough to be born again as a Christian. That's right. According to the facts concerning the case, I guess 85% or more of people who are in asylum or those types of institutions are Christians. What a record for Christianity. Good gravy. What a record for Christianity. Look, you can be born again of God's Spirit and have devils fill your mind and control you and possess you, take over the telephone system, so to speak, and just operate you. But that's the counterfeit. But when you're born again of God's Spirit and renew your mind and put on the mind of Christ and you say what the Word of God says and you believe it up here, you close that trap door. There isn't a devil in all hell or outside of it that can get into this little old mind of mine. I just don't allow those old birds. Why? Because I control this baby up here. I decide what I'm going to think according to God's word. And he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. The old boy knocks at the door. I say, go flip your spit or do something, man. You don't get in here. See, you control the mind. You control what you think. Right. He takes captive at will only those who've got the trap door open. And if you haven't got that trap door open, man, he can't get in there. That's right. You know, take a look at Mark, bless your heart. Gospel of Mark, take a look at it. Mark chapter 5, Matthew, Mark. It's in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. See, Galilee. And when he was come out of the ship, that's talking about Jesus, immediately there met him a man out of the tomb. A man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tomb. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Quite a record, isn't it? Boy, oh boy, if you're going to have power for abundant living, you've got to get right on with this word. This man, possessed by a devil spirit that controlled him, and he was real religious. They're always religious. That's why when people are religious, it doesn't cut any ice with me. Usually when these real religious fellows sort of, and women sort of sneak up close to me and stuff, I just back off to see what kind of spiritual halitosis they have. That's right. Nothing about being religious. I don't object people being religious. But the people that have always taken me in and tried to teach me the wrong stuff were always real religious, you know. Real religious. This old bird was real religious here in Mark 5. You bet your life. You know how religious he was? He saw Jesus afar off. And the Spirit made the man to run and fall down and worship him. And he cried with a loud voice. And he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Well, now devil spirits know who Jesus was. How come people don't know it? They know it. It says he knew he was the Son of God. Doesn't say that he knew he was God. Talk about the Trinity. They may be flipped out, but they're not that flipped out. The devil spirits knew who Jesus Christ was, boy. He said, now look, you can read it. I'm reading it, but you can read it yourself. You can read in any translation you want to. That's what it says in all of them. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Son of the Most High God. Son of the Most High God is a lot different than God. Verse 8, Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. He said to him, what's your name? He said, my name's Legion, man. We're loaded. We're biggies. And he besought, the devil spirit besought Jesus much that he would not send them out of the country. Quite a record, isn't it? The old devil spirit takes over that control at will if you keep the trap door open. And he had a real big one over here operating it. But what's the prophet? What's the prophet? None. Acts chapter 8. Boy, And our country today is loaded with people, loaded with devil spirits, and they're all religious.
I'm sure devil spirits are religious.
So we go to the meeting at 4 a.m. and we do our salams properly and others. Pray, you know, Lord. Act real religious. Kneel, lay down, and oh, we give up so much, you know. And I would never charge you for a class if I was a devil spirit. No. Sure. It gets you so completely committed to devil spirits, later on you lose your life in 10 or 15 years when the true God would have allowed you to live for many, many, many years. I tell you today, it's almost unbelievable to find anybody, any place that can handle God's word and rightly put this thing together and hold forth God's word and be able to separate truth from error. If you're going to separate the genuine from the counterfeit, you've got to know this word or you'll be taken in all the time. Where did I say we were going? Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, look at verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Boy, isn't that something? Uses the word possessed, and it's used regarding unclean or devil spirits. You see, devil spirits possess. The true spirit never possesses. The true God never possesses. Anybody that's ever possessed, it has to be from the devil, the adversary, and devil spirits. Came out of many who were possessed. That means they were taken over, they were controlled. Now, devil spirits don't control full time, but they'll come in and take over the telephone system, as I said, for a while. Then they flip the coop and the man's real cool, real neat, real normal. Then they come back in again and they take it over and nobody can quite figure out what happened.
Well, it's so simple. It's so simple from God's word.
Yeah. You see, the terms and phrases that you hear used in the churches today are phrases like, oh, sister, let the Spirit have his way with you, sister. Just give over to the Spirit. Just relinquish yourself to the Spirit. Let him speak through you, sister or brother. Just let the Spirit take over and speak through. My, how religious that looks. Yes, but what a counterfeit. How devilish. That's right. Or they say, just give your tongue over to the Spirit. Let it be a channel for it. Let him control your tongue, your speech. Oh, my God, people. I'm responsible for controlling my tongue. Why, sure, I'm responsible for my tongue. I'm not going to let anybody take that baby over. You bet your life I'm not. That's why, because, boy, look. I'm responsible for it. And such a devilish prayer, oh Lord, possess me. Oh Lord, take over. What a disgrace to the true God. When he offered his only begotten Son and said, whosoever will may come. When you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe God raised him from the dead, you were not possessed, you were in control of your mind. You, by the freedom of your will, did it. Boy, oh Lord. These terms and phrases that are used in so many of the organized churches and groups today are just so devilish, and people get taken in because they think, well, if it's religious, it's got to be from God. That's right. But which God? Because the Bible says there are two gods, the one in God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other God is the God of this world. There are two gods. And baby, you better find out which one you're working for.
Bless your old heart. Going to show you something over here. On the chart board. Find my pointer. Look over here.
Talking about the manifestation of tongues. What it is.
The manifestation of tongues is the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not something you're controlled by. This is something you are in charge of. You control it. You control the manifestation. I'm not possessed. Look, I speak in tongues at will. Lo santa, ushanta malakasito kashanta. I move my lips, my throat, my tongue, I make the sound. I have determined in my mind, by my will, to utilize that Spirit of God which is His gift to me. I can do through Christ. So I determine to speak in tongues. And when I speak in tongues, the speaking in tongues you can see, you can't see Christ in me. That's right. Speaking in tongues you can see, but you can't see the Christ in me. But if I did not have the Christ in me, I could not speak in tongues. And the speaking in tongues, you see, my speaking in tongues is nothing but it's the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's all. Christ, the hope of glory. And this speaking in tongues edifies me. And it builds me up spiritually. This is why these inspirational manifestations that I've spoken to you about are absolute necessities. You've got to operate speaking in tongues much in your life and boldly be able to interpret and to prophesy in a believer's meeting before the revelation manifestations become real versatile, or before you receive revelation manifestations frequently, so as to be able to carry out the impartation or the action manifestation. You see, when you speak by the Spirit of God, this is speaking in tongues. And I'll take you into Corinthians in a moment and show you the greatness of this, because where it says Jesus is Lord has to be by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at it. Very difficult verse of Scripture to people that lack biblical understanding. Wherefore, verse 3, 12:3. I give you to understand. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12:3. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by Holy Spirit, pneuma hagion. He says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. There's got to be a deep reason in here. Because a man could say Jesus is Lord. Can you say peanuts? Sure, you can say peanuts. Say soup. You could say soup. You could say Jesus is Lord without being a Christian. It's got to be a lot different than that. Because I've heard people use the name of the Lord in vain that aren't Christian. And therefore, I know it's got to be a lot deeper. And it is deeper. He says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. To speak by the Spirit of God is to speak in tongues. Right now, I'm not speaking by the Spirit of God. Right now, I'm speaking by the Word of God I put up in my mind. By my renewed mind, I'm speaking. I'm not speaking by the Spirit of God. I'm speaking by the renewed mind. But now, Nisiti kino ukana makota. That is speaking by the Spirit of God. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by pneumahagion, by speaking in tongues. No man can say that Jesus is really Lord but by speaking in tongues. But when I speak in tongues, then I've really made him Lord. You know why? Because I've had to believe something that I could do according to what God's Word says, and that I had the Spirit within me to do it. And I just had to walk out, just like walking out over a precipice. I don't feel anything, I don't smell anything, I don't taste anything. But he said, I would y'all speak in tongues, so I moved my lips, thrown down, and I speak. And walking out by that believing is the proof that I've made him Lord and that he is on the inside of us. I couldn't do it. That's why speaking in tongues, saying Jesus is Lord by pneumahagion, is to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is that external manifestation. That external manifestation of the internal reality and presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that external manifestation is the proof that I have made him Lord in my life. You see, without the efficient operation of the worship manifestations of the Spirit, you're going to continue to be totally ineffectual in your Christian walk. And without the proper understanding of the operations of these manifestations, you're going to continue to walk by the senses and you're going to continue to guess and guess. With the manifestation of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy and operation, you see, you're going to walk by the Spirit. And walking by the Spirit will give you the greatness of that power and that wonderful presence of God. Let's go back over here to the chart board and see exactly what these manifestations of the Spirit will do. The manifestation of tongues, what it does, it edifies you. Look, you need physical food for your physical body. Right. Well, what about spirit? So you have to edify, you build up the spirit. The spiritual man needs to be fed. Speaking in tongues is speaking to God, divine secret. And through the years, I've had hundreds and hundreds of people say to me, well, what good is speaking in tongues? You can't understand it. Yeah, you see, it's just a cop-out. They've never studied God's Word. Look at this. This is what the Word says. Every one of these I've documented from the Word time and time again. You'll find these all documented in every one of these records, like here in this Holy Spirit book. Every one of these will document all this stuff. You can find the Word on it. Speaking the wonderful works of God. But wouldn't you like to speak the wonderful works of God? Then you're going to have to speak in tongues. It magnifies God. It magnifies God because you worship Him. God is Spirit. And they that worship Him have to worship Him in spirit and truth, truthfully by the Spirit. There's no other way to worship Him. Therefore, it is to magnify God when you speak in tongues. It is to pray perfectly. When I pray with my senses, I could miss it. But when I pray in the Spirit, I can't miss it. I'm always praying perfectly. And I make intercession for the saints when I pray. I don't know what to pray, how to pray for you, except to thank God for you. I don't know your need, but God does, right? And when I speak in tongues, when I pray in the Spirit for you, it's a perfect prayer, and I make intercession for you. It is the giving of thanks well when I pray in the Spirit, when I speak in tongues. It is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. It's the proof in the senses world that I have eternal life. It is the knowing that you are a joint heir with Christ. And a joint heir is one who shares fully in the heirship. I used to think a joint heir was one who got 50% and his brother got the other 50. That isn't true. Joint heirship shares fully in the 100% of it. And you and I are joint heirs with Christ. Strengthening you with might in the inner man. That's the ninth thing this manifestation of speaking in tongues will do. Strengthens you with might in the inner man. Physical food is for the physical body. Speaking in tongues is for the inner man, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And number 10, it's a sign to the unbelievers that you've got something they don't have. That's right. You've got something they need. And when it's properly operated, like we do in the way ministry, according to God's word, and it's right on, that speaking in tongues with interpretation in a believer's meeting or with prophecy, all of these manifestations will just take an unbeliever and excite him. They won't say you're half mad, because it will be done decently and in order. And finally, number 11 says it's a rest to your soul. That's sort of wonderful, isn't it? It's rest to your soul when you speak in tongues. And oh my, how many hundreds and thousands of times I've experienced that. You get tired. Like just before I came into this session, I was just tremendously tired, and I just spent almost all my time just speaking in tongues. Even as we were preparing this and men and women were talking to me, I'd even answer them, and in between the words, I was just speaking in tongues. Because I had to get that in order to teach this session. That's why I know this so well, about it being rest. Nothing else in the world rests you like speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues for 10 minutes and start working another hour. But it depends on your believing and the greatness of your knowledge and application of that Word of God. I want you also to remember that all the manifestations of the Spirit are supernatural, all of them. And they're wrapped up in that God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they are given as abilities. The manifestations are given as abilities in the gift. And that is why we need to understand the greatness of this word and the power of it, and move with that word as it's revealed. You see, we want to be a glory to God. We want to manifest the greatness of God. We want to move with it. That's why I want to show you something about speaking in tongues in the church. Whenever they're speaking in tongues in the church by a believer, it is a message from God or for God. It'll either be in the first person or in the third person, grammatically speaking. And in the church, speaking in tongues by a believer, that message must be interpreted. It has to be interpreted. Now let's say a believer who's born again, speaks in tongues in a church, but he has not been taught how to rightly believe God to do the interpretation. I call him an unbelieving believer. It does not mean that he's not born again. He's just not knowledgeable of his job, what he's supposed to do. That's why he's still unbelieving. That unbelieving believer, when he speaks in tongues in a church, it would be prayer, because he has no believing to interpret. And God, knowing this aforetime, before he speaks, by God's foreknowledge, that's why this message this man gives in tongues is not a message from God or for God to the people. It is prayer. That's why no other person can interpret it. And when one person speaks in tongues and the other person interprets it, as they call it, that interpretation over there is not interpretation. It's his own word of prophecy. Misnamed interpretation of tongues that has been spoken by this person. No, this person over here spoke in tongues, but it was a prayer. God knew aforetime. God knew before time that he wouldn't interpret. So his speaking in tongues was not a message from God or for God to the people. It was just a prayer. This fellow over here says he interpreted it. No, he didn't interpret that at all. He had his own word of prophecy. In our body of believers, it would have been in English. Boy, that little bit of confusion has caused a great amount of confusion in people's minds. Just that little lack of knowledge on believing about the believers speaking in tongues, fully instructed in a believer's meeting, or one born again of God's Spirit speaking in tongues in a believer's meeting, but not fully enough instructed that he knows it's his job to interpret or how to interpret. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, and I think I'll take my book. Got it someplace. What'd I do with it? Right over here. Had it in there a little while ago. Took it out. Think I'll go over here and take this little book on receiving the Holy Spirit and share a little bit with you out of it. Because if there's anything you ought to be really mastering in this class while you're going through this class, you ought to really master the Word of God in relationship to the Word from this book, receiving the Holy Spirit today. I'll look it up, but I think it's somewhere it's around 207, this 14th chapter. 207 is right. It's where it starts. You ought to read this and study this whole book and just get it lined up with the Word of God in your mind so you understand it. This 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the only chapter in the entire Bible discussing the use and misuse of the worship manifestations of the Holy Spirit's gift of Pneuma Hagio, Holy Spirit in the church. That's right. The only place in the Bible you're going to learn it. You can look every other place, but this is the only place. The 1 Corinthians 14 is the only place in the whole Bible that it discusses the three inspirational manifestations, namely speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The worship manifestation, these three, may be used in a believer's meeting, bringing edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. This 14th chapter deals almost exclusively with the proper order and usage of these manifestations. The church in Corinth had been misusing these manifestations. And thus God, by Paul, puts them back into proper order and usage in this chapter. I want you to note and be aware of the exact words that are used throughout. For instance, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity. The love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation in the church. And desire spiritual gifts. Supernatural manifestation, but rather that ye may prophesy in the church. That's a literal translation according to usage with the application thereof. We're specifically instructed here in this first verse that in the church we're to follow after love. For the love of God in the renewed mind must be in manifestation among the believers, to bless all the members of the body of Christ. We are to yearningly desire. The Greek word for the word desire in this verse is the word zelo, spelled Z-E-L-O-O. Jealous zeal, it means. Spiritual or supernatural manifestation. We're to hunger after them and put forth an effort to evidence all the spiritual manifestations belonging to, determined by, influenced by, or proceeding from the Spirit. Isn't that something? The word gifts in this first verse is in italics. We've discussed this previously, of course, in Corinthians already. Therefore, the word gifts must be deleted from this verse. When it comes to a believer's meeting in the church, the most desired manifestation in practice is prophecy. This manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not that which the Bible refers to as the office of a prophet. The office of a prophet, that's something entirely different, people. The manifestation of prophecy is bringing forth, in the language of the body of the majority of the people in the church, a message directly from God or for God, which will build up, edify, exhort, and comfort the body of the saints. Prophecy will always do one or more of these, and it will always flow with the Word of God, never at cross purposes with it. The Word says, desire spiritual things, pneumaticos, but rather that you may prophesy. Why is prophecy here referred above other spiritual matters or things? Prophecy builds up, you know. Prophecy builds up, edifies by foretelling, exhorting, and comforting. If all in the church are fully instructed, which is the greatest goal that you can have in the church, that everybody be fully instructed, then naturally God would rather that you may prophesy. Therefore, prophecy is preferred in the church, which would indicate a fully instructed body of believers. Now, there's a footnote here on page 209 that is simply fantastic, and I want to read it to you. A man of God operating the ministry of a prophet may foretell, F-O-R-T-H, foretell, or he may F-O-R-E-tell, foretell. To foretell is simply to declare. That's what it means, to foretell, to say it, to declare something. That's foretelling. To F-O-R-E-tell is to foretell something before it occurs. The foretelling, now listen carefully, the foretelling is his operation of the manifestation of prophecy. His foretelling, F-O-R-E-telling, is the operation of the ministry of a prophet. When a man of God foretells, it's simply the manifestation. When a man of God F-O-R-E-tells, it's the ministry of a prophet. A prophet always has the possibility of both. The prophecy manifestation by a prophet has the same characteristic sense knowledge-wise as by any other believer. However, the ministry prophecy of a prophet would not be by inspiration but by revelation, and therefore could have foretelling, F-O-R-E-telling. To the believer, both the manifestation of prophecy and the ministry of prophecy would naturally sound the same sense knowledge-wise, but the difference can be known by the context of the message. Boy, if you didn't understand anything more than that, after this session, you'd understand a great deal more than most of the Christians have understood for centuries. Centuries. The difference between the foretelling or the foretelling. You see, when a man with the ministry of a prophet foretells, it's simply the manifestation of prophecy. But should he F-O-R-E-tell, should he F-O-R-E-tell, then it's the ministry of a prophet. And you will never know, sense knowledge-wise, You'll have to know from the man's life and from the context of the word that which is true regarding these matters. You know, verse 1, a literal translation of 1 Corinthians 14:1 that I have here on page 210 is absolutely beautiful. It reads as follows, literal translation according to usage. Follow after the love of God in the renewed mind, in evidence in the church. And by doing this, you will yearningly desire supernatural manifestations in the church, and more properly prophecy will be brought forth in the church. Nothing any more beautiful than that. Follow after the love of God in the renewed mind in the church. Love one another, be tender, forgiving. And as you do this, you will yearningly desire supernatural manifestation. You want to bring a message in interpretation or prophecy. And you'll more properly prophesy as you grow in the knowledge of that word, because you'll put on the mind of Christ, and prophecy, as you're more fully instructed, will just bless everybody in that church. Isn't that beautiful?